As promised, though, right now we're joined by a reporter and a storyteller for NFL Media. He is a Hall of Fame voter. He is the author of Junior Seau, The Life and Death of a Football Icon. He's a Peloton legend, as you know, an adjunct professor at San Diego State. He is Jim Trotter. Jim, good morning. What's up? How are you?
Romy, what's going on, man?
Good to talk to you, Jim. I wish we had better subject matter, but actually it's very important subject matter, so let's just jump right into it. Jim, Friday, there was a Wall Street Journal report on the email from John Gruden regarding DeMaurice Smith. What was your reaction to that email when you first saw it?
I really didn't have much, Romy. It was more of, is anyone surprised by this? Because what surprised me more than anything is people acting like this was something unusual, or this might be a one-off in the NFL. And the reality is, John Gruden and Bruce Allen are not the only ones who speak this way in the NFL. All this was the curtain being pulled back and things that are said in the dark coming to light. That's all. So initially, I wasn't worked up about it because, as I've said before, you know, I know of owners who have said things that are much worse, but it's not known publicly, or it hasn't been printed publicly what they have said. And therefore, they get away with it, or it's covered up by the league. So none of this shocked me or surprised me.
Jim Trotter is joining us. Jim, I agree with you. My first thought when I saw that was, I'm not shocked by this, and believe this, this is not the only person in that league who's saying something like this. I mean, safe to assume that's the case. If they're not Gruden and Allen, if they're not the only ones in positions of authority, they're having conversations like that, Jim, what do you think that would say to Eric Bieniemy or Todd Bowles or Byron Leftwich, and whether or not they're going to get a fair shot as a head coaching candidate? What must they think when they see this?
That they're not going to get a fair shot. Look, Romy, what this said to me after you know, learning of what Gruden said of DeMaurice Smith, to me it was just another reflection that at the highest levels of the NFL, there is this passive-aggressive behavior towards black people. And what do I mean by that? I mean that when you look at the NFL as a whole, not just on the field, but the league office at NFL Media, blacks are not represented to the point that they should be. At the league office, we've got, 11 executive vice presidents, I was told. Only two of them are black. If you look at NFL Media, where we cover a player population that's 70% black, there is not one black person who's at the decision-making table when determining how we are going to cover these men. You go to the field, you and I both know the numbers in terms of head coaches and general managers is appalling. You go to the front office. There's only been one black club president in the history of the NFL, and that occurred, last year after this Washington football team investigation. So from my standpoint, there is this passive-aggressive behavior within the league that says to black people, you can entertain us, you can work for us, you can play for us, but when it comes to you actually having some authority and some decision-making power within this league, you're not going to have it. And so if I'm Eric Bieniemy and I'm Byron Leftwich and others, the next time the league trots out this statement that, well, the reason there's a lack of diversity among head coaches and GMs is because the pipeline is lacking, I'm going to look at you and say, tell me again what John Gruden said to Bruce Allen. And again, that's not speaking to someone who's just a bar buddy someplace. That is a person who is a president or was a president of a club. And as you know, the club president is one step below the owner. Bruce Allen had the authority to hire and fire at the highest levels of the organization. And so when you know that he is engaged in that kind of conversation, then you know that blacks do not have a fair opportunity in this league at large.
We are talking to Jim Trotter. So, Jim, to that point, and as you have said, something needs to be done, and that something is not another slogan or a hashtag. What does need to take place in order to increase diversity in team leadership so that some of these conversations do fundamentally change?
You know, I'll say this first, Romy. I always find it interesting that blacks are asked to fix a problem that they didn't create. So from that standpoint, you know, it shouldn't be on me or any other black to tell the NFL what you need to do to correct a problem that you created. Having said that, my suggestion would be, first and foremost, to start to get some diversity and representation at the top of the organizations and the top of the league office. You know, have people of color sitting down at that table when some of these discussions and these decisions are being made. And if you're not going to do that, then there's really nothing else to talk about because your actions will speak louder than your words. And that's why I have said I'm done with hashtags. I'm done with slogans. I'm done with the Black National Anthem being played before games. I'm done with money being contributed to social justice causes. I want to see real change at the top. And at the top, it means having a diverse group of people who are having discussions about how to deal with these issues. And we don't have that in the NFL.
We were talking to Jim Trotter. So, Jim, there are 650,000 emails that are part of the investigation into the Washington football team. To the best of anybody's knowledge, the Gruden email on Friday was the first one to leak. Why has more of that investigation not come to light? In other words, why is John Gruden the only person to lose his job as a result of this investigation?
It's really stunning, Romy, to be frank with you. As I've said, I'm asking the question, what does an owner have to do to be kicked out of the league? I mean, Daniel Snyder had over 40 sexual harassment claims against his organization. We now know that his club president was engaged in racist, homophobic, and misogynistic conversations with someone. So if I, as an owner, oversee that sort of culture within my organization, I'm thinking that's something the NFL does not want. But all that's happened to this point is that Daniel Snyder got a $10 million fine, which to you and me may sound big, but to him is nothing, and was told he has to cede day-to-day control of his team indefinitely to whom? To his wife, who he is with every day. So are we naive enough to believe that he is not having some conversation with his wife about what should be done with this team? So I ask the question again, what does an owner have to do to be bounced out of the league? And it's funny, you know, my former colleague Jamel Hill, who I respect tremendously, she tweeted out he has to kneel. And that's probably the only way that one of these owners would be kicked out of the league. We know Jerry Richardson was run out of here, but my understanding is that he had planned to get out even before he was accused of the claims that were made against him and his organization. So from my standpoint, again, Romy, it mystifies me, and I believe that the reason that the NFL is not going to make these other emails transparent is because there's a lot more in there that's probably very damning, and it shows the tentacles of this thing, and particularly the tentacles of racism that exist in the NFL, and they don't want us to know about it. If we know one thing about the NFL, its mantra is protect the shield. So during the original Spygate case, when the Patriots were found to be guilty of videotaping opponents' signals in practice, whatever it was, what did they do? They destroyed the evidence so that we could never see the extent of what was going on. Now fast forward to the Washington football team investigation. What did they do? They asked for an investigation and said, oh, by the way, we don't want a written report on it. Why is that? Well, they say it's to protect the people who had made claims against the team, which I find to be laughable from this standpoint. Whenever you have a legal case, let's say a rape case, what do? They redact the name of the person making the claim, or they identify the person as, let's say, Jane Doe 1 or Jane Doe 2. You could have done the same thing with this Washington football team investigation. So I don't buy that they did not ask for a written report because they wanted to protect the victims. I believe it's because they don't want us to know the extent of what was really going on.
Jim Trotter, my guest. I think all of that's fair, Jim. So having said all of that, and that they're always going to fall back to protect the shield, do you have any sense then how that first email came out?
None. And it would be unfair of me to speculate, so I won't. I just find it very curious, as you do, that it was leaked about one specific individual. And let me say this too, Romy. I'm fascinated, mystified, whatever word you want to use, that Bruce Allen walks away from this without any sort of consequence. You know, he was fired or let go, whatever term you want to use, prior to the investigation starting, and he's not feeling any pain from this, even though he was intimately involved in it. Again, it's John Gruden who's the only one who has really felt the pain or consequence of what went on, and he wasn't even involved with what went on with the Washington football team. And I'm not saying I feel sorry for John Gruden. I'm just saying it's really curious that he's the only one who has taken shrapnel from this.
Extremely curious. Extremely curious. Jim Trotter, my guest. All right, Jim, before I let you go, and I appreciate your thoughts on that topic, completely different note, though. I did see you tweet earlier in the week that you were looking for a ticket to Game 5 tonight in San Francisco. Did you have any luck?
I did, but Romy, the thing I forgot is I had promised my daughter I would take her to the airport at 4:30 on Friday morning, and therefore there's no way I can get back from San Francisco in time to keep my promise. So even though I had a friend reach out to me and say they had a ticket, I had to pass up on it, and I will be watching on television tonight, just like so many others.
Family first. Family first,
absolutely.
And that's going to be a great Game 5. He is a reporter and a storyteller for NFL Media. He is a Hall of Fame voter. Again, the author of Junior Seau, The Life and Death of a Football Icon. My guy, Jim Trotter. Jim, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Great job as always, and always good to have you on the program.
Appreciate you, Romy.
You too, Jim. Appreciate you very much. Jim Trotter.